Broad Street Bully Podcast, talking Flyers hockey.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's episode 331 of the Broad Street Bully Podcast. How are you? It's June. The conference finals are underway. And if you're watching hockey, it's been pretty good hockey, unless, of course, you're an Edmonton Oilers fan. Not looking too good for them after this recording, down 3-0 in the series to the Colorado Avalanche, while the Rangers are surprising everybody and putting the Lightning in a very tough spot. It's Drew Papsky, just along with Just Doyle today, scheduling conflict. And our bad about last week, it was Memorial Day, it was America, John Fogerty was playing. It's still free. You're welcome. So when this podcast ends in 3 minutes, because we have nothing else to talk about, you will also be reminded.
Wish Jeff was back.
No, they will never. They will not do that. I don't think it's ever. I don't think his parents have actually wished that. But the Rangers are up 2-0. And I must say, Doyle, before we get into any of the light Flyers news today, I watched the third period of the Rangers-Tampa Bay game Saturday night, and it was the first. It was the longest amount of hockey I've watched in months. And
you were like, Jesus Christ, the Flyers are so far behind.
I was like, the most of the league is so far behind those two teams. I mean, also, it's a playoff intensity and ever, but it was fun to watch. And even the Lightning in the last like 2 or 3 minutes actually got within a goal. And they were pressing with an empty net. It was still an exciting game. The Lightning in a tough spot, down 2-0 after dropping the first two on the road to New York. But
yeah, there's been a lot of goals scored in that series, too. And, like, well, at least against the Lightning, who have arguably the best goalie in the league, with and who was playing like at a crazy clip in both series before this one.
Yeah.
So I like going into it, I was just expecting like, oh, these games are gonna be like 1-0, 2-1. There's just gonna be like super low scoring games, and that is not the case.
Yeah, I haven't watched. Like I said, I haven't watched much of it, but watching that, it's like, oh my god, they're so fast.
Yeah.
They play their position so well. They close in the right gaps at the right time, and there just isn't a lot of movement. You know, like playoff hockey should be. You have to fight for every inch literally out there. It's not the regular season anymore. And I don't remember the last time I saw the Flyers play like that, so I don't know. It's it's tough right now being a Flyers fan when, as the Phillies are just fired their manager, Joe Girardi, people are more excited about the Phillies and their potential in the Flyers.
They're 2-0 in the Rob Thompson era.
Yeah, so, they also, like, blew the game wide open the day Girardi got fired.
Yeah.
Day after, I should say.
They should play smooth every time they announce him at the stadium.
Yeah, I was like, you know, did he really retire from Matchbox 20 and playing one song with Santana? What is this guy doing? It's like, you know, give me a 10-round spot.
Yeah, it's a hot one.
Morning coffee. It's a Sunday morning here. The BSB podcast headquarters, and the Flyers, as you probably expect, have not done much. They did not sign Connor McLennan, though, so please cue the skies falling, Henny Penny, because Connor McLennan was supposed to be the next Claude Giroux, or not better than Giroux, because Giroux sucked. I'm not sure what narrative we go with. Jeff, what do you say? Well.
That's right. Jeff's not here. Yeah. Who's going to take all of their opinions from Twitter and make them their own?
I can't do it. I just can't. But
there's a lot of complaints that Connor McLellan has scored a lot of goals at the junior level.
Just like Scott Laughton did?
Yeah.
Actually, Scott Laughton tried to be a pretty good NHL player, but still.
But yeah, everybody's like, well, the Flyers don't have any goal scorers now, and they just got rid of one of the only ones they had. And a lot of people just cited he's had development problems as far as like his foot speed. He's like not big. He's like 5'10", 5'9", 175 pounds, and he's not fast. So,
well, maybe he just works real hard and plays a 200-foot game. Yeah. He's a responsible forward.
Yeah, Flyers have plenty of those.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. People get upset, and every time we say like, "Oh, look, he made it! He made it on the Lightning summer squad, and now he's Or he made it on the Lightning tryout contract, and he makes the team, and everyone freaks out, and the guy gets cut the following year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't really know.
Danik Martell says hi.
Danik Martell. He was so good. He could have been somebody. But the real focus for the Flyers, I guess, right now is still the head coaching search. We talked about this at length in our last episode. Was that 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, it's still
So the Flyers have met with Trotz a few different times, but no real word on what's going on. Everything's kind of been hush-hush, as you figure it would be until a Flyers beat writer breaks that they hire Trotz, and then he won't come here because it got leaked early. Or whatever. If you followed the Quenneville story a couple years ago, you remember this whole debacle.
Yeah, there was some, like, rumor that the Flyers interviewed Tortorella for, like, maybe a assistant position, and they were just going off of, like, what he said in, like, an ESPN interview, because he's on ESPN, and they asked him about, I guess, his interview, and he was like, I'm just glad I had the opportunity to do it, or whatever. And they're like, you don't really sense a lot of, like, you know, excitement in his response.
Well, good. I don't want him.
Yeah. So, somebody was like, oh, maybe, like, the Flyers are going to try and do what they did before with Vigneault and Therrien, and like try and hire Trotz and then Tortorella as like an assistant.
Yeah, well, does that actually work though? Because it didn't work. I mean, it worked for a 1 year turnaround.
Yeah.
But
other than that,
I really liked Vigneault when he was here, man. I thought that was going to work out. I thought she was the one. I had an idea of the ring I was going to get her and everything. I really thought Vigneault was going to, I mean, I thought that whole year with all the traveling in the beginning and when they had a little mini documentary series about it, and then also getting ready for the stadium series, I really liked, I don't know.
Yeah, I thought.
I'm sorry, no, it's the stadium series before that, my bad. The other documentary, the one that was for the traveling thing. I just thought my bad. We got to watch two Flyers mini like documentaries in like a year and a half. That was pretty cool, but I really enjoyed that and thought like I liked what he was bringing to the table. And he said, be a fucking Flyer, so you know, we had to like him. He's like Labby. He's got jam, or that's what they say. But I don't know, man. I don't know who they're going to pick, and we'll I guess we still will have to wait. I mean, at this point, the NHL draft is about a month away, July 7th through 8th. Flyers picking 5th. And I imagine they're going to want their head coach pretty much figured out by the end of this month, because the Stanley Cup playoffs will be ending in, what, a couple weeks?
Yeah,
about 3 weeks?
A little bit over a month until the draft.
Yeah, the last possible day is June 30th, and the draft is July 7th. So you figure in about 3 weeks, it should be done. It probably looks like it's going to be Colorado and New York in the finals, which everyone's going to be pulling for Colorado, hopefully.
Everybody, and like going back to the coaching thing too, now they're saying like, you know, everybody, once they heard Trotz was available, that's who they want. And a lot of people want Tortorella, and another name has been thrown into the mold, which we probably have mentioned. I honestly forget. Kirk Muller.
Really?
Yes.
Well, I think they're all just kind of waiting for the Trotz domino to fall, and then, like, I guess Tortorella and then Muller would be the ones they follow.
Yeah.
I mean, once Trotz gets hired, you'll see when I was like, all right, we didn't get the one we wanted. It's like, you know, it's like the prettiest girl at the bar. It's like once they go home with something, like, all right, well, what do I got left?
I will say Chuck Fletcher made a very dumb comment, though, too, when he was talking about the coaching search.
What did he say?
I think.
What did he say? What did multiple things
say? I have to look it up, but it was along the lines of, like, we're going to do an extensive search for our coaching candidate, our coaching candidate, even if it means missing out on the best candidate.
Yeah, I don't think I would want to say that. I think he was trying to sound like he was doing his due diligence, but I don't think he should say that.
Yeah, let me see if...
That's not very good. While I got you guys' attention, I want to remind you that this Wednesday night at 9:30 p.m., that's Wednesday, June 8th, Chaboy, Drew Papsky, will be at Helium Comedy Club for the annual Philly's Funniest Competition. You want to see me in Philly at a nice club setting last year, like it was kind of like half capacity because of COVID. It sucked. But you can come see me. I got tickets, people. I got tickets. I don't have any free ones left, but if you call the box office and say you want to see Drew Papsky Wednesday night, that's 215-496-9001. Get a half-price ticket, and you can come see me and act like you know me and then be a creep and give me a hug. And it will be very fun. So if that interests you, see me Wednesday night. And while we're also here, if you don't want to do that, that's fine. But you could go to PhillyGoat.com and use promo code BULLY for 10% off your entire order. PhillyGoat.com has a bunch of apparel, some cool new stuff for summer. You can get on board with some cool threads, get your Hoochie Boy shorts, whatever you're doing, your gray shorts to go with it. And let the ladies know that you're here and you're ready for it. So a bunch of good Philly sports and Philly just Culture apparel on there. It's phillygoat.com, promo code bully. And follow Drew Pavsky, because that's me. That's all I got. All right, now the ads are done, Doyle. I think we gave the people everything we needed to. We can get out of here. I'm just kidding.
Did you see or listen to any of Ray Dinger's like last?
I did not. I heard that he was getting ready to leave, and then I kind of just was like, I don't want to. It was like, I don't need to know about that.
Well, at some point it was brought up, and I don't know if this was on. I just heard this quote from him recently, and it was around the time of his last broadcast with Glenn Mack now. And I'm not sure if it was before that or whatever, but somebody like said like they were talking about the Flyers, and his outlook on it was basically saying like, until the ownership basically is changed, that nothing is going to change.
You think that's, so if he's saying that, and that's what a lot of fans were saying, is it actually true?
Yeah, I know. Like, well, it's just interesting to hear that opinion from someone as renowned as Ray Dinger.
Who's well respected and like, yeah. he doesn't make up rumors.
Yeah, exactly. And like, you know, he's obviously seen a bunch of things as far as the Eagles are concerned and their awful management at times in their franchise history. So, yeah, it's definitely interesting to hear from him. But, you know, blank check. Hopefully the blank check pulls through when it comes to the coaching candidate.
Yeah, I think
one thing to at least hang your hat on. The rest of it is what the roster is going to look like next year.
Yeah, that's all very scary. But if that's true, then I mean, I remember a lot of people were looking at Comcast as like the boogeyman and looking at them as like this big bad thing. And I get that. And they were calling out the woman who's like the marketing vice president.
Yeah.
And they were like, and I was like, why are we knowing about this woman's name? You just went on the website and looked at everyone's picture and found out who she was. Doing investigative journalism with the Twitter profile with no pictures of them actual self. But if there has to be a little bit of truth to that. But I think a lot of the anger was just misguided. But it was more than just, it was everything. And I think we talked about top to bottom how something needed to change. And it doesn't surprise me that if Ray Dinger's saying the, and actually, no, it does surprise me a little bit, but it's not like a shock because we've heard enough about this. We've seen this enough. We've been doing this podcast for 7 years now, and we're actually worse off than when we started. If you think about it, we don't have any franchise players. Nope. I mean, you can make the argument for like Hayes or like Farabee possibly has the potential to be there, and like you have Couturier, but we don't have like, I don't know. We lost Claude Giroux.
Yeah, there's no like
before. Like the core was like Drew, Voracek, Simmons, Couturier, Shen. Like when we started this podcast, at least there were some pieces and some potential there. Not really much of a defense to talk about, but hey. And our third and fourth line was horrible, but we could figure it out. And now here we are in 2022.
And
Coburn were the only for one season. Grossman's knees were just blowing out every time.
Yeah.
So just to think, look at it like since then, like there was more hope, and we're like, oh, we're gonna retool, rebuild, we'll be fine. And now we went for it and rebuilt and retooled and got actually a coach that has a President's Trophy in his resume, and we made it to the second round of the playoffs, and we lost to a much better Islanders team. And then the Flyers have still not been back to the playoffs since. You still had to wear a mask walking into a restaurant when the Flyers last were in the playoffs. I don't know where you live right now, but you probably don't have to do that unless you're somewhere in another part of the world. But we were still, the vaccine was not out yet. So just put it in perspective of how long ago that was. That was like Labor Day weekend, 2020.
Yeah.
So we're coming up on the 2 year mark, 2 season mark is already here. So it's not exactly what I call an exciting time in Flyers hockey. And it's been really tough to do this podcast, honestly, the last few months, especially just because it doesn't look like it's going to get better.
Yeah, there hasn't been anything that has really given you a sense of, oh, they're going to be able to at least, people want to be instant contenders, and I get that, but, like, it's just not going to happen.
No.
Especially right now, like, the best that we could hope for is just make the playoffs and see what happens.
Playoffs? How about we win more than, like, 20 games?
Yeah. Well, I mean, and going with what the roster currently looks like, yeah, that's not looking very promising, yeah. Especially with a guy who has a problem that we're still not really sure is, and he still hasn't gotten surgery, and if it's not going to get to a certain, if it gets to a certain point in the summer, then he'll finally get surgery. So then it's like, how much more time is he going to miss going into the next season? Then you have another guy who's coming off a back surgery.
You know, another guy who had multiple injuries of the same core muscle last year, and he got second place in Masterton and lost to the Carey Price.
Then you have another guy who's making $7 million to score the most meaningless goals.
JVR. So the Flyers also don't have a second-round pick this year. They have a pick in every round except for second, and that's it. Now, next year, in 2023, is where they don't have a second-round pick either, but they do have three third-round picks and two fourth-round picks thanks to various trades with the, you know, when they dumped Braun, they dumped, they traded Giroux, and then also the Oilers pick is from, what would that be from?
Derek Brassard.
Brassard, oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, so they could potentially move back up into the second round if they want to, or trade out of the fifth overall pick, depending on who has been taken or not, and then...
According to Bill Meltzer, after the top four, it's like they the best available player most likely will be these two Slovakian defensemen who are pretty good, but no one will make an instant impact. He also mentioned in his one block about the Flyers could move back, like you just said, and maybe go for a forward if they don't feel like taking a defenseman. But obviously, you take the best available at pick five, so the Flyers may be picking a defenseman, which, I mean, whatever, just pick the best available. I don't care. Pick somebody.
Yeah, the only person I really want, just because of the player comparison that's been made to him, I have known nothing else about him except the player comparison was made to him, was the guy who's like apparently supposed to go second overall, which is whoever Slavkovsky.
Giroux?
Yeah.
Well, great name. Giroux? I don't know how to pronounce that.
And somebody was like, yeah, he looks like he could be a Jaromir Jagr type.
Oh, man. Well, that gets the people listening.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't know anything about him. Never watched any highlights of him. All I heard was that, and I'm on board.
You're telling me you don't spend your days watching scouting reports and tapes from overseas and overseas hockey games over in Europe so you can do this podcast, Doyle?
No, I wanted the Flyers to pick Peyton Krebs just so I could call him Mr. Krebs. Of course, I don't watch any of that.
The Krebs cycle? When he's on the power play.
Yeah.
It never worked. I remember when we used to say, talk about Peyton Krebs, and we said that so much hope and light was in our eyes. Now we're just like, go to Philly.com, buy a shirt, promo code bully, and don't talk to me. That's how I feel.
That's Drew's new character called Depressed Drew.
Yeah, it's not even a character, it's just real. it's fine. It's fine. I'll be okay, I think. I think I'll feel a lot better in a couple hours when we're at softball. I'm having a couple little white claws, you know. Getting
a couple teas.
There's no teas in the local spot. I don't have any.
Wait, there's a shortage of teas?
I don't know. This supply chain thing, the gas prices. The White Claw iced teas are my go-to right now. And the local liquor store hasn't had them in over a month and a half. So they're about to be, like Kenny Power said, you're fucking out. I have to go somewhere else. I'll drive across town a Total Wine with all the bougie people and figure it out.
Rumor has it Drew stopped at like six liquor stores on the way to our softball game last week to try and find teas, and he couldn't find them.
Rumor has it. But, yeah, that's why I was so late. Just kidding, I wasn't late. But it's okay. I will figure it out. The Flyers probably won't, but, hey, at least there has to be somewhere with White Claw iced teas. There's that for you people. That's what I'm going with.
Maybe our tudes will change when we get closer to free agency.
Maybe. I don't know.
With a draft, and they trade like their first over.
They trade Sean Couturier and Ivan Provorov and Travis Konechny and everything we hold near and dear to our hearts and just stick the needle in, and we're done.
Yeah, Travis Konechny could be gone. Ivan Provorov could be gone.
Couturier will hurt if he goes. But also at this point, it's like I feel like one of those people in like one of those old like, you know, action or like, you know, war movies where I've already lost so much and the most dangerous man in the world is a man who's already lost everything and has nothing to lose. And that's how I feel when we had it with a season tore the heart out of me, then we tried to trade Claude Giroux because we suck so bad. If we weren't sucking that bad, I don't think they would have traded him, and I think they may have re-signed him.
Probably, yeah.
But that just, it happened and it's time to move on. I know I'm still talking about it. Like, oh, shut up. Listen to some other podcast. You don't care. It's fucking my podcast.
Shut up.
But just to show you where I'm at as a fan, like it's been honestly, it's been hard to even do this show.
Yeah, you can only berate Jeff so much.
Yeah, for timing purposes, we've in the last like couple months, we've like taken off like here and there. Like, we didn't used to do that at all. It's just been very hard. I mean, life and scheduling gets in the way. There's three guys. We all have lives outside of each other. Thank God.
Yeah.
And then,
especially one of us.
Me. But it's just very hard to get together to talk about this team in general because of scheduling, but also it's just hard to motivate myself to even turn on the goddamn microphone to sit here and talk about this team because people ask me. People always come to me when the Flyers are doing well, when there's trade rumors, people that I work with, people that I just don't even – I've had random – like this one woman I worked at a restaurant with years ago who follows the podcast a little bit, like reached out to me like a year ago asking about the trade. They're like, hey, me and my boyfriend are wondering, what do you – like. I was like, hey, I haven't talked to you in like 6 years. How are you? Thanks. Nice to hear from you. Like random people hit me up all the time. And now people
you're a media member now.
Yeah, we're media, but I'm saying that for the reason of this. Like now when people talk to me about like, yo, so what's up with your Flyers, man? I'm like, I don't want to fucking talk about it. It's like, hey man, what's up with your insert family member's name here who's on hospice? I don't want to talk about it. It's just there's no hope. They could make a speedy recovery and a miracle if it happens, but the doctors don't even know, but it doesn't look good. That's what I feel like right now as a fan, and it's just very hard to even care. And also, Jeff brought this up before. During the pandemic when sports were shut down, it kind of was like a cold turkey, like, you know, removal from it. And I'm like, it doesn't affect me as much as it used to. Also, it's just me getting older, I think. But I don't think the Flyers' losses don't hurt as much, especially now because there's so many of them. It's like I've been punched in the gut over and over and over again every morning. And it's not going to hurt that bad. I'll get used to it eventually.
Well, so. It's kind of like the Eagles, too. Like, the Eagles, talk about punches to the gut. Like, after their whole thing with Andy Reid and, like, making the NFC Championship, like, what, 4 or 5 years in a row? And then losing, like, three of them. And then finally they get to the Super Bowl, lose. So then it was like, is this ever going to happen?
They go through a full rebuild, and then 2008, 2009, they go to the NFC Championship again, and they don't show up in the first half. The defense doesn't, and we spot the Cardinals a few touchdowns, and then the Eagles come back, and it's close.
And that team should have beat the Cardinals.
Yeah, and they could have beat the Steelers.
Yeah.
Santonio Holmes is with outstanding tiptoe catch notwithstanding.
Yeah, but they could never. The Eagles could never stop fucking...
Tight ends.
Larry Fitzgerald.
That too.
Yeah.
Big receivers and tight ends.
I mean, most couldn't, but still.
Yeah.
Yeah, then the defense
put Lito Shepard on spying him or something. Gotta put him over the top.
The defense, like, finally turned it on at one point, and then they blew it. I thought that one play at the
Akers also missed a field goal, and his daughter was going through, like, cancer treatment. There was a big story about that.
I thought the opening play of... the third quarter where Donovan McNabb threw a bomb to DeSean Jackson, I was like, oh, dude, this is a dagger. It's like absolute dagger to just open up the quarter and just get absolutely scored on like that. And then just it did not happen.
Yeah. Well, they eventually figured it out. And now it's why the Eagles, I'm like, give a lot more leeway now because we won a Super Bowl. I'm good. I don't want to be complacent, but that's kind of what I am because like it's been so long. And I'm like, I just want to watch... good
yeah,
football
and the Eagles
Sunday,
won
and
a Super Bowl in like a year where it was like there was no expectations that they would even be like a good team.
It was the most fun season of my life.
Yeah,
a regular season and everything. And looking back on it now, I want them to win, and I want them to be relevant in January. That's all I want.
Yeah. So
right
that's
now,
like,
while they figure out this new quarterback thing, I want the Flyers to somehow figure it out and be relevant in April, or I don't know, for the last couple of years, just be relevant in like. February or March. Like, please. Like, the Flyers season started last year in January, last season, and it was pretty much over by the second week of March. Just to show you. I mean, it was a prorated or, you know, shortened season, but I don't know. It was very difficult for me to swallow as someone who's followed this team since I was like, this is the first team I followed as hard as I did as a little kid, and I'm just like, dude, they're killing me right now.
Yeah, well, the other thing, too, is, like you said, they just haven't done anything that, like, leaves you with any confidence, really.
Last summer, I was feeling so good.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, it's like since then, like...
I saw Dr. Mike's little brother recently, and he was, Dr. Mike, you know, friend of the show, long-time listener, and, was a guest at one point back at the beginning when we didn't know what the hell we were doing. He was like, dude, remember when you told me back in like August we were hanging out? I was like, what? He's like, you were like, the Flyers are going to be so good. We were at a wedding and I was talking to him about it. We were at the bar getting a drink. We were talking about like, he was like, you got me so excited, dude. I'm like, Drew knows his stuff. He's going to. I'm like, John, I don't want to talk about this right now. Forever. Listen. It's like basically I feel like George W. Bush coming back afterwards. Like maybe there actually wasn't weapons of mass destruction the whole time. And everyone's like, Jesus, dude, you got me so excited. We went to war and killed a bunch of civilians over this. And I'm like, sorry, you know. With the data I had, I made the best, you know, conclusion I could based on the fact the Flyers had traded Voracek for Atkinson. They brought in some veteran talent to help round it out and some guys that wore A on the jerseys. All the narratives were fitting after the Flyers needed to kind of retool their team after they kind of lost their way the year before. And then, you know, obviously the Ryan Ellis acquisition was the big one. And then that's the last time we're excited, Doyle, but all that fizzled out very quickly.
Yeah.
So from here, I don't really know what the future holds for the Flyers. I feel like we used to be the more the positive aspect of the podcast. At least I tried to be and be like, oh, what can I do? But congrats, Flyers. You even turned me into a miserable bag of shit. And that has nothing to do with my personal life. It's all about you. It's all your fault because that's what people do when they're mentally ill. They blame other people.
It has nothing to do with the White Claw iced tea shortage.
Well, I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't go that far. I mean, it probably has a lot to do with that. But also, yeah, it's been shitty hockey to watch, and I'm tired of it. I'm not going to stand for it anymore. And maybe I'll catch a little bit more of these NHL playoffs as we find out who's going to make the Stanley Cup Finals. But, yeah.
Right now it's looking like Colorado.
It's going to be Colorado, New York. Unless Tampa Bay finds it, and then they'll kind of fight back and go for their three-peat. But maybe they're complacent, too. Yeah. Is this the end of Tampa Bay's reign as a potential dynasty?
Or they're just tired from playing, like, 100
I had a shortened season last year.
Almost 200, over 200-something games of hockey.
They're not a real Stanley Cup team. They're a COVID Cup team. That's going to be the narrative. That's going to be the narrative after this. Watch.
They're a COVID Cup
team. They're a COVID Cup team. They don't actually play a full season, you know. They had the
COVID
bubble.
COVID Cup team, yeah. Then the shortened season Cup team.
The bubble, all that stuff. They're going to say that. Watch. There was no actual fans last year, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, I had, going back to talking about friends getting into hockey, I had one friend who watched, like, one of the playoff games against, I think it was like the Islanders when the Flyers won an OT, and he was like, dude, I don't know how you watch hockey like this. He's like, he's like, if this was a Duke game playing, like, he's a huge Duke fan, which RIP now because Coach K lost his last game to North Carolina.
I thought I'm talking about the Great Genesis album. Like, great album, great set. Album.
But he was like, yeah, dude, this year I'm all in on the Flyers. They're like 4 weeks in. He was like, dude, what the fuck, man? I was like, I don't know.
Listen, we are as stumped as you are, sir. And we're part of the media, allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly. Allegedly, we're part
allegedly,
of the media.
Miss Katie's. Did you watch, did you see Shoresy came out?
I saw a clip of like.
I didn't watch it yet, but it popped up on my Hulu saying, hey, you might like this. I'm like, yes, I goddamn will.
Him just talking shit to people, which, classic.
Yeah, classic Shoresy, but I'm looking forward to watching that. I am also not looking forward to, actually, I'm looking forward to a little bit, I guess. Just Flyers, just do something.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't overreact and go full reactionary, like, you know, National Socialist movement to change the problem, you know? We don't want that, you know, because, you know that ended World War II. Let's go to the Cold War. I'm going to do the drop today. But I would like to see something that's going to improve the franchise for the long haul. No Band-Aids. I will accept that as opposed to mortgaging a bunch of things and taking a huge risk and just getting a Johnny Hockey here to sell tickets.
Yeah, exactly. Like, as much as I would like to see Johnny Hockey or like Philip Forsberg in a Flyers uniform,
ain't gonna fix anything right now.
Yeah, right now might not be the best time for that, especially because you have to like buy out JVR probably to do that.
Yeah, there's a lot of other problems right now. We have a lot of salary tied up, and like, look at the Rangers. They have a lot of young guys contributing right now.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, they have some veterans that all decided to sign with New York. But they already drafted a lot of young people and it became a destination. They also got very lucky that the Shesterkin turned out to be a stud goalie.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, it's easy to turn around a rebuild when you have, you know, one of the best players in the league is only going to sign in your city And then you have another defenseman who is like a pretty high rated defenseman who is forcing his way to only play in one city. And then a draft pick who turns out to be a Norris candidate forced his way to only play in one city. So, I mean, it's like you said, it's a destination, and people force their ways, force their way there because it's New York, basically, because everybody just always wants to play and be a part of New York because it's New York. But, like, that's just, like, not the typical blueprint to rebuild a team.
Well, they heard the song, I've got to be a part of it.
Well, I mean, like, I always look at, like, Colorado, which took like 10 years to get to the point that they are currently at. They made the playoffs like one time for, I think, over like, I forget how long it was, but before like they started making the playoffs with this current roster, it was like they made the playoffs once in like 6 or 7 years or something like that. And then the Oilers won they tanked. They've been rebuilding for how long? They have two of the greatest players of the NHL, and like this is the first time they've been in the Western Conference Finals, and right now it looks like they're about to get swept.
Yeah. You got to have, but I think the Rangers is having the young talent there, and like it's New York, and they had,
yeah,
they drafted a couple good players.
And Shesterkin, they got really lucky with.
I think it just makes it a lot easier, so they're able to rely on that. And then that's, we'll see how they do, I guess. Go Colorado? I don't know. It'd be cool to see Lightning come back. The Rangers can't have anything nice. Screw them. Because I'm bitter. God damn it. But yeah, you got anything else, Doyle? I'm ready to wrap this bad boy up. We gave the people what they wanted. But maybe, actually, no, we gave you what you needed, not what you wanted. Because you remember, you can't always get what you want, but sometimes you just might find you get what you need. And that's White Claw Iced Teas, baby!
We did really miss an opportunity to launch the Backstreet Boys podcast this week without Jeff being here.
I'm sorry, when we tell Jeff he's fired next week, he'll figure it out. Don't worry. That's when the actual rebrand is. This is all, it's all been a ruse.
Yeah. The description is going to be, listen to two queens argue about who's the main Backstreet Boy.
And I'm going to win that argument. I'm going to come with my sources.
Yeah. I'm just going to take a poll, and then everybody's going to pick.
I hope you take a poll up the ass. Vlad the Impaler.
Everybody's
going
to pick Brian Luttrell over AJ.
Yeah, they're going to pick Brian, but everyone knows the history. AJ was supposed to be the market as the one. He was the cool one with the hip-hop dancing. Like, the bump again went. If you really want to see. He was the man.
Yeah, but it didn't work out that way.
All the old videos of them, they're all, like, just doing, like, they're basically a Boys Two Men ripoff. It's all white dudes, like, dressed in, like, kind of, like, hip-hoppy kind of clothing, and they're all, like, dancing and singing and, like...
Were they doing the hip-hop dances,
lot more
like
R&B.
That lady who was like, I'm going to instruct you how to do hip-hop dances.
No.
And it's, like, the whitest thing ever.
No. It was actually pretty good, not going to lie. I mean, no, I'm also a little biased, you know. Anyway, guys, don't forget Helium Wednesday, 9:30 p.m. Come see me. I'll buy you a drink or something. Just make sure you laugh. And that's it for us.
PhillyGoat.com, Bully. Sorry.
Jesus Christ. Leave the advertisements to me, Doyle. You're fired, too. It's going to be the Drew podcast from now on. It's me and the Drews. All my multiple personalities will descend further into darkness with no White Claw Iced Teas.
You should just make a podcast for, like, even if it's 15 minutes of you having a conversation with yourself.
Or probably have an anxiety attack.
That would take so long to do because you'd have to, like, answer.
I was watching
and answer.
I found myself talking to myself yesterday when I was, like, getting ready to work out and type myself up to do it. And I was talking to myself, like, yeah, it's going to be a good lunch. And I'm, like, watching the Ozark finale going, shit, that bitch is crazy. And I'm like, why am I talking? There's no one here except for my dog.
As long as you aren't answering yourself.
Well, to be continued. Everyone have a great rest of your week. Enjoy your June. Goodbye.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
This has been the Broad Street Bully Podcast with your hosts, Drew Papsky, Jeff, and Doyle. Available anywhere you get your podcasts. Check out BroadStreetBully.net for the latest episodes and daily content about the Philadelphia Flyers. Follow the show on Twitter and Instagram at the BSB Podcast.
Yeah, da 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 da.